وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما بعد we will translate the khutbah to English inshallah. نعتذر للإخوان تشويش بس مراعاة لغير العرب أو غير الناطقين باللغة العربية حتى يفهموا إن شاء الله موضوع الخطبة كونه يعني يهم العرب غير العرب. So basically, since we are very close to what they call Christmas, the topic of the khutbah was relevant to that particular issue. Mainly because we have become very flexible, if I may say, in regards to the rights of Allah. And we compromise in certain areas where there's no compromise. The introduction is that the intent behind this sermon is not to spread hate or violence or transgression as many Muslims do today. Ultimately, we love what Allah loves and we hate what Allah hates. So this is a given. But in terms of our behavior, this is not an invitation to oppress Christians, whether in the kingdom or back home or wherever we may be, on the grounds that they have the issues that they have. We are still expected to invite them to Islam with wisdom, good preaching, and if we argue with them, we should argue in the best way. However, internally between us as Muslims, we need to also know some facts that some of us may be unaware of. The first of which is the gravity of the statements of the Christians against Allah. You all know in the beginning of Surah Al-Kahf, which we assume that we recite on weekly basis every Friday, since it's a sunnah, authentic sunnah to recite Surah Al-Kahf on the night or the day of Jumu'ah. You know the introduction of the surah is Allah praising Himself for having sent down the scripture upon the Prophet ﷺ, and that scripture will give glad tidings to those who believe and do righteous deeds, that they will enter the paradise eternally. And then from the main objectives of sending down the kitab is وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, and to warn those who say that Allah has begotten a son. So from the main objectives of the revelation is to warn the Christians who claim that Allah Azza wa Jal has begotten a son. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ وَلَا لِآبَائِهِمْ, they have no real knowledge of that, nor do their forefathers. كَبُرَتْ كَلِمَةً تَخْرُجُ مِنْ أَفْوَائِهِمْ, the word which comes out of their mouth is huge in its offense and insult and ridicule. إِيَّ يَقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا, the only thing that they say is lies. They're simply lying against Allah. So Christians, if you've ever given da'wah to a Christian, then you can attest to what I'm about to say. They never agree on anything. In fact, the average Christian does not know what he believes. He will give you answers. If you ask him 5 questions, he will give you 5 answers, all of them contradicting each other. And he cannot explain himself. Try it. Is Jesus God? Yes. Is Jesus the Son of God? Yes. How can he be God and the Son of God at the same time? How can someone be his own father and son? Never thought of it. He will tell you, that's it. You have your religion, I have mine. Huh? When he's cornered, he will tell you, you respect my religion, I respect your religion, please don't discuss religion with me anymore. So the average Christian does not know what Allah believes, what he believes about Jesus. But Allah told us in the Quran already, because the Christians have so many denominations, Catholic Christians, born-again Christians, Jehovah Witnesses Christians, Protestants Christians, and the list goes on and on. And each denomination believes contrary to the other. So Allah Azza wa Jal addressed the main pillars of Christianity and refuted them in the Quran in the most explicit terms. When Allah Azza wa Jal said, they have disbelieved those who say that Allah is the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of Mary. They have disbelieved. The first principle is they are kuffar. Because we have today people who are involved in da'wah, who try to get philosophical with us. And they tell us that the Jews and the Christians are not kuffar. The Hindus and Buddhists, maybe. Jews and Christians know they are Ahlul Kitab. But Allah is saying in this ayah, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ. They have disbelieved. Kafar, you know Arabic, you know the word. This is besides the ayah in Surah Al-Bayna, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَةِ. This is not a discussion anyways. That's on the side. So those who say Allah is Jesus, the Messiah, son of Mary, have disbelieved. And Jesus said, وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحِ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. Verily, whosoever associates partners with Allah, Allah has made Jannah forbidden upon this person, and his abode will be the hellfire, and the wrongdoers will have no helpers. And this applies to everybody. So then Jesus was calling people to Tawheed, but the Christians claim that he is Allah. تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يَقُولُ الظَّالِمُونَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. The second allegation they have against Allah جل جلاله is that they say that Allah is one third of the Holy Trinity. They say God is three in one. The Father is a God, the Son is a God, and the Holy Spirit is a God. But they will say, but these three gods are one God. Of course, linguistically, mathematically, and logically, it doesn't work. Because when you use three singulars, God, 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 then you have to end up with a plural, gods. And if you count, if you add 1 plus 1 plus 1, then you have to wind up with 3, not 1. But somehow, in the Christendom, it's okay to go against basic math, basic logic, basic language, to prove to the people that their religion has some foundation and basis, which is ludicrous. And this is another accusation that Allah Azza wa Jal refuted. That there's only one ilah, one deity worthy of worship, and that is Allah Azza wa Jal. And Jesus is merely a prophet. مَا الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. I forgot to quote this ayah on the minbar. Jesus, the son of Mary, is no more but a messenger. Many were the messengers who came before him. وَأُمُّهُ صَدِّيقًا. And his mother was a believer in truth. كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They used to both eat food. Jesus and Mary ate food. You tell this to the Christian. Did Jesus eat food? He will have to say yes, it's in the Bible. He was eating fish and honeycomb. Did he eat food? He ate food. When you eat food, what happens to you? You have a digestive system, صح? After a few hours, you have to go to the bathroom. So are you telling me that your God goes to the bathroom? You understand? This is the logic. You approve that he ate food, which means he had to go to the bathroom. So you're telling me God goes to the bathroom? How can that be God? What kind of God is this that is deficient and in need and he needs to eat food, needs to go to the bathroom? It's nonsense. This is the insult to Allah, because they're insulting Allah with these statements. So we have to close that door against their accusations and allegations about Allah Azza wa Jal. So Jesus was no more but a messenger. He was born miraculously by the will of Allah. He sent, and this is what we recited in the surah, in the salah. Surah Maryam is very clear about the story. Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam, who came to her in the form of a handsome man, and Mary was so righteous that she told him, I seek refuge with Allah if you fear Allah. She wasn't trying to flirt with him. And he told her, I'm only the messenger of your Lord to grant you a pure, righteous son. Said, how can I have a son when no man has touched me and I've never been an evil woman? He said, this is you. Allah said, it's easy for Allah. He created Adam without a father or a mother. If Allah created Adam without any parents, is he able to create Jesus with only a mother? Of course. This is easier to Allah than the first one. And nothing is difficult for Allah anyways. But that is the logic behind it. So this is the logic we use against them when we give them da'wah. Why don't you say Adam is the son of Allah? Because he's greater in creation than Jesus. If you don't, then you have to leave alone Jesus as well. Of course, from the Bible, there are many evidences that support the Islamic teachings. But this is not a course right now of how to give da'wah to Christians. So I can't really drift into this discussion. We want to stick to the topic, but still so you will have a general idea on how to deal with the issues. So the second claim is that Allah is one third of the Holy Trinity, and that's another bogus claim. And when they say that Allah, the third one is that Allah Azza wa Jal begot a son. And the amazing thing is that the Christian choice of words is very erroneous. They say begot. The begotten, if you ask the average Christian, he will tell you Jesus is not just the Son of God, He is the begotten Son of God. And begotten has to do with a relationship prior to this existence. Linguistically. Of course they claim this never happened. But then the term begotten is inaccurate. So they say Jesus is the begotten Son of God. And in this Allah said some very powerful ayat. Wherein Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدَ They say, only saying, let alone what they believe. They say the Most Merciful has begotten a son. You have said something outrageous. That's what Allah is saying. This is, I'm quoting, I'm translating the interpretation of the meaning of the Quran. This is not my words. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْءٍ إِدَّا You have said something monstrous. How evil is it, O Allah? So evil that the heavens are about to rip open. And the earth is about to split asunder. And the mountains are about to fall in ruin. Can you imagine? This is the biggest natural disaster. When the earth opens and the skies open and the mountains fall, khalas. It's over. No human being can survive. All of these are pending. They are about to happen had Allah not willed that we will all live until Yawm al-Qiyamah and so on and so forth. By the will of Allah, the heavens and the earth and the mountains don't do that. They, independently, they would have done so because of the gravity of the statement that Allah has begotten a son. And da'u lirrahmani wala. The only because they alleged, da'u al-di'a is an allegation that Allah has begotten a son. The Most Merciful has begotten a son. And it doesn't befit His Majesty to beget a son, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Everyone is a slave of Allah. When you are the ultimate boss, you own your own business, and you know this business in and out, you know everything about it, you know how to make money, how to manage it, how to manage people, how to manage the money, the other companies. Do you bring another person to run the business with you and split your money with him? Unless you're crazy. If you are in total control as a manager, the last thing you will do is bring someone to take a share of your profit when you do it on your own better than with him. Once you bring someone, it means what? You need help. You need something. You are in need. And this need is a deficiency. And Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Qawi, the one who has no deficiencies. He's As-Samad, the Absolute, who has no deficiencies. Therefore, it is impossible for Allah to take a son because that in and of itself is a deficiency according to Allah's greatness, that He needed something. And what is worse than that is, according to the Christians, do you know why Allah begot a son? You know why the Christians say Allah begot a son? Listen to this. This is from the Christians' teaching, not from me. They say that when Allah created Adam and Eve and they disobeyed Allah when they ate from the tree, that Allah was unable to forgive them. Mind you, in Islam we know, Tab Allahu alayh. Sah, Allah forgave Adam, it was over. Then He made him a Nabi. According to them, Allah was unable to forgive Adam and Eve. So they came down to earth with the sin, and they started producing children, and the sin started to multiply and multiply and multiply until it became a huge sin. Because they say every son of Adam was born sinful. Why? Your father sinned, so you are sinful like him. In other words, if your father commits a crime, as soon as you become 15, they put you in prison. Why? Well, your father committed a crime. But I didn't do anything. Yeah, well, according to Christianity, you're guilty by association. Which is another ludicrous belief. So they say the sin became so huge that a regular sacrifice was not sufficient. You cannot go get a sheep or a goat or a bagara. No, that was not enough. The only way you can solve the problem is that God Himself has to become a man. Then He has to come on earth and He has to be crucified. So when His blood flows, it will forgive everybody's sins. Chad, where is the brain, Yaqi? Where in the world, how can this be? He has to kill Himself to please Himself? He has such a problem?
problem. According to them, he can't solve it. Cannot just forgive Adam. Too difficult to forgive Adam. So let me take a son or become my son and kill myself so that I can save everybody. A bunch of nothing. But that's what the Christians believe. The main belief of Christianity is that. That's why it's okay to eat pork and it's okay to drink wine. It's okay to fornicate. Why? Jesus died for your sins. All you have to do is accept Him as Lord and Savior. That's it. Just say, I accept Jesus, and that's it. You're not expected to do anything else. This is the easiest thing. It's like your father is the principal of the school. He tells you, Sheikh, don't study, don't do anything. Wala homework, wala batikh, abshir. I run the school, Habibi. You will be number one in class from the time, from grade one until you graduate. Don't study anything. You say this to a student, what is he going to do? Is he going to be, mashallah, the most keen, studious one? He'll be playing all day. Why? He's been given a guarantee. Don't worry. This is the mentality of the Christians. Jesus died for you. Enjoy life. You only live once. Ma fi mushkila. Do what you want. We have the opposite. We have Yawm al-Qiyamah, Mizan, scale of good deeds, bad deeds. Allah accept, Allah didn't accept. We have so many things we need to work on to enter Jannah. But that's how you become successful. That's how students who study hard pass, and those who play around fail. It's the same principle that we apply amongst each other, human beings. Allah applied upon us, so it's very compatible with our way of thinking. You want a degree? Earn it. That's it. You want Jannah? Earn it. Don't say Jesus died for me. So these are some. Of course we can go on forever about what the Christians believe. But why am I saying all this? All of this is actually an introduction to one request. This one request is, do not even imagine yourself saying Merry Christmas to anyone. Don't. Because today we have a lot of Muslims who think they are, mashallah, intelligent. Oh, these strict Wahhabis or whatever, these, fundamentalists and radical Muslims, even Merry Christmas they cannot say. Yeah, Sheikh, I teach you how to give da'wah. Wait, let me call my friend John. John, Merry Christmas. I would like to wish you a Merry Christmas on this holiday. And he thinks that he's the genius of da'wah and he's the scholar of the Muslims. And he doesn't know that with these words, Allah may throw him on his face into the hellfire and he will never get out. Why? Because the very mere statement of Merry Christmas is an approval, you're stamping and acknowledging this belief that Allah was born on the 25th of December. And that Allah begot a son. And that Jesus is the Savior. By you saying Merry Christmas, you're saying to him, I'm congratulating. What is Mary? Mary is a request asking Allah for blessing. Huh? They say the more the merrier. It's better. You're wishing him a good Christ Mass. Christ has to do with Jesus Christ. Mass is the whole Christian, ceremonies and garbage. So you say Merry Christmas is an endorsement to this. It is similar to you seeing a thief. You walking down the street, you see a thief trying to break into a car. And you stand and say, may Allah give you success, akhi. May Allah give you success in opening the car. Is there anything wrong with you making dua for a Muslim for Allah to grant him success generally? Absolutely not. It's a beautiful dua. But in this context, what does that dua mean? You're wishing that he commits a crime. And you are mocking Allah because you're asking Allah to help a Muslim commit a sin. You understand how you look at it? The gravity now is not in the words. The gravity is in what it entails. You're approving the theft of the car and you're asking Allah to help him in doing so. This could be the worst dua you will ever make in your life. Even though the words are beautiful, may Allah grant you success. And this is stealing a car, ya Sheikh. It's not a big deal. I'm not encouraging anyone to steal a car. I'm just saying, if you were to compare stealing a car versus shirk in Allah, there's a huge difference between the two. And this is why Ibn Qayyim said, saying, congratulating the kuffar on their holidays is worse in the sight of Allah than drinking alcohol and fornication and killing someone. Because these are all kaba'ir, major sins, major sins, major sins. And akbarul kaba'ir, ashirku billah. So you are actually endorsing the biggest of sins, which is greater in the sight of Allah than the other ones. All of them are bad, but this is the worst. Therefore, there's absolutely no room, no flexibility, no sugarcoating, no compromise whatsoever regarding this issue at all. And don't listen to anyone who tells you otherwise in regards to this. There's no room for this Merry Christmas. Yes, we are supposed to invite them to Allah with wisdom and good preaching and argue in the best way. But this does not fall under that. This is not hikmah. Wallah, he wished me happy Eid for Eid, so I wish him a happy Christmas for Christmas. Your deen is haqq and your Eid is from Allah. Where is their Christmas from? If something is not from Allah, if this holiday, which is a religious holiday, is not from Allah, Allah did not reveal it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who did it come from? Who? Tell me. Mankind. With the assistance of who? Shaitan. If it's not divine, it's satanic. Sahih? Anything which is not from Allah is from the enemy of Allah, directly or indirectly. So in other words, you're saying to them, happy Satan's day, because Satan invented this holiday because it's beautiful to him that people will worship other than Allah. And he loves it when people commemorate any event where Allah is being associated with. It's the biggest goal and objective of Shaitan. So he is the main person or main creation, I don't want to say person, behind this. So you have to choose which side to take. If someone says Merry Christmas to you, all you have to do is be diplomatic. Say, may God guide us all. Thank you so much. Khalas. Khalas. Say something that is general and to the point. May Allah guide us. May Allah guide all the people to that which is good. I wish goodness for all of you. I wish goodness for you. Don't you wish goodness for him? Ultimately, you wish that Allah will guide them to Islam. Say words that will get you out of trouble without you feeling the pressure. Say, Merry Christmas. Okay. Don't do that. Don't do that. Hold on to your ground. Why? Because it's not worth it that you please a disbeliever to displease Allah. This is the worst thing. Yani, if you were displeasing Allah for another believer, it's not allowed. Let alone for a disbeliever who's an enemy of Allah. So the first goal and objective, ikhwan, is please do not compromise your religion in regards to this issue. Be a man about it. And hold your ground and Allah will assist you. You will learn with time how to get yourself out of these situations. Secondly, da'wah. It's not enough to say they are this, they are that. Many of them are ignorant. And many of them, when shown the light, they follow the light. And it's our duty as Muslims to show them the light. This is the wasiyah, the admonishment and the advice of the Prophet ﷺ to each one of us, each one. He spoke to the whole ummah. بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. Convey from me even if it's one single ayah from the Qur'an. One hadith, convey it to the people. So let us make an effort towards inviting these Christians or non-Muslims in general to Islam. This is why we mentioned there are many, many da'wah offices in the kingdom. In Jeddah, there are maybe 12, 13, even more. They all have pamphlets and CDs and DVDs and everything you need. With 3 riyals or 5 riyals, you can get a bunch of books, booklets and pamphlets. And this Christian that works with you, that has been working for 2 years or 3 years, he doesn't know anything about Islam. He only sees bad behavior. He only sees that the people block him every time he wants to leave. And that he gets his salary a month later. He's only seen the evil from us. We have to fix this. Go get him a wallet for 10-15 riyals or a pen or any gift. Doesn't have to be a lot of money, but something that is symbolic to your care. And go to him with these pamphlets and the wallet or whatever it is. Say, listen, I know you deserve a castle or a Mercedes or a Bentley, but my situation doesn't allow me to get you something that fancy. However, there's something that is more valuable to me than all of this world. It is my religion. It is my religion. So I would like to share with you the most valuable asset I have. Please read these books when you get the chance. If you have any questions, let me know. I can guide you to someone who can answer your questions. Whatever, however you word it, it's your choice, your style. But the general concept. and this wallet I just added there, maybe, you know, it will be beneficial for you. You know, you're more important than that, but this is what I thought would be appropriate along with these books. And walk away. Khalas. And you can sleep with a peace of mind. At least on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Fulan who worked with you, you did your job. Whether he becomes a Muslim or not, doesn't concern you. As in, it doesn't concern you that you're not accountable for it. It concerns you, of course, you want to know, and you want him to become a Muslim, but you're not responsible afterwards. So if he becomes a Muslim and he guides his family, then all of their good deeds will be in your book of deeds. This is the best investment in the world. Talk about business. Talk about ROI. You know what ROI is? Return on investment. Yani you pay 5 riyals and you enter Jannah. Yes, yes. Yeah, you can enter Jannah not with your deeds, with his deeds. Because usually new Muslims, ala tool, mashallah, you find him going straight. He doesn't zigzag. You tell him this is the sunnah, he will do it. Because they enter into Islam with passion, with love. So his deeds are often better than ours. And you did nothing, something very small. So this is an excellent investment. So instead of only, you know, talking about how wrong the Christians are, which they are, let's also give them their right of inviting them to Islam while maintaining our dignity in our religion. This does not mean that you say, okay, you come to the masjid, I go to church. Huh? Or you call on Allah once, I call on Jesus the next day. Khalas, we swap, yani we help each other. La ya akhi, la, you have your ground, you don't play with that. If he comes, alhamdulillah, if he doesn't come, bye-bye. Ma'a salama, it's not your business. But no compromising in our religion. So I recorded this particular khutbah translation on purpose because I know many of us have relatives overseas who may have fallen into this area and we would like to share with them what we heard. So inshallah, I will make sure that it is uploaded on the website onewaytoparadise.net. One way to paradise. It's one word. No digits, no spaces, no slashes, nothing. onewaytoparadise. I know it's a long one. .net, not .com. You will find the MP3 audio of this khutbah, inshallah. And then you can share it with your loved ones or the people that are dear to you so we can spread this awareness among the Muslims. Of course, on that website, you will find many presentations, many lectures, many discussions to the Christians, da'wah to the Christians. If you want to share with them, I have a lecture called Quoting Jesus and another one titled The One and Only Religion of God. Different lectures actually speaking to the Christians. You can share it with your colleagues who are non-Muslim. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla will make these lectures as means of guidance. So you can feel free to use anything in the website as you like. Alhamdulillah, it's loaded with information and material, MP3, videos, YouTube channel, everything is there. So oneway to paradise.net. Jazakumullah khair for your patience. Go enjoy your lunch, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.